Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. So then Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. We're going to look here at Cain and Abel, and we'll pull our title here out of verse 5. I'll just call this one, God has no respect of persons. God has no respect of persons. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the truth of your word here that you've given to us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your preserved word, the truth of your word. And thank you, Lord, that we can open your word here tonight. I do pray, Lord, now that you fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, that you give me your words and your thoughts and your clarity of thought here to guide, lead, and to speak through the truth here that you've given to us, laid out in your word. Lord, just be with me now. Be with us now. Speak to our hearts. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and sin entered into the world, God did not leave them all alone in their sin. God gave them an amazing promise. He gave them the most amazing promise ever. A promise seed. The promise that a Savior would come from that seed. If you flip over a page or so there in Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 15, the Bible says, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This here is the very first prophecy of the coming Savior, the very first prophecy that Jesus Christ is coming into the world to defeat Satan. There is only two seeds upon this earth. There are those that follow after righteousness, and there are those that follow after unrighteousness. There are those that follow the way of God, and there are those that follow the way of self and the devil. There's only two kinds of religion in all of the world. There's God's way, or there's man's way. There's faith, or there's works. There's blood, or there's sweat. There's Cain, or there's Abel. Hey, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. You must come to God His way. He decides, and you must come His way. God has no respect of person. In Romans 2:11, the Bible says, For there is no respect of persons with God. Colossians 3:25 says, But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which we have done, and there is no respect of persons. Now we see here in our text today that we have the very foundational truth about religion, both true religion and false religion right here. And God's Word gives us the example here of two men, Cain and Abel, who practice two different types of religion that are in the world. The thing with false religion, every single false religion can be traced back to Cain's false religion of works. Every single false religion out there has the same thing in common, the very same thing. They all reject the true gospel of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. They reject the blood of Jesus Christ as the only way to God, and they replace it with their thoughts. They replace it with their feelings. They replace it with works. The one true way of salvation and how to be accepted by God has always been by the blood. It's always been by the blood of Jesus Christ. So let me give you some truths here today. Number one, I want you to see, first of all, we see here there's two brothers. Right? Two brothers. We had two brothers sing it. They just happened to be my sons. Two brothers. But amen. Praise the Lord that they're willing. Hey, praise the Lord for that. But here in our text, we have two brothers. Look here in verses 1 and 2. It says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." So we see here, first of all, we see the birth of Cain. Now remember, there was not a pregnancy before this on earth. There was not a birth on earth before this. And so this is the hope of that promised seed that God had promised them. This is why she is excited. She says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Hey, she's thinking this is the coming Savior of the world. Hey, this is the promised seed. The very name of Cain means to acquire or to get. And this was a man that she had gotten from the Lord. God had promised that He would send the Savior through the seed of the woman. Remember that. Adam and Eve believed that promise. They believed God. Adam and Eve, they were hoping, they were expecting that this child born would be the Savior of all mankind. And then we see verse 2 that there was the birth of Abel. They don't go into a whole lot of detail. But that Hebrew word means vanity. It means breath. It means temporary. It means meaningless. And it means empty. So I want you to notice a couple things here about these two brothers. All right, these two brothers, first thing I want you to notice is that they came from the same parents. These two brothers came from the same parents. Cain and Abel were born into the same household. They were raised by the same father. They were raised by the same mother. They grew up under the same conditions. They were taught the same truths. They were given the same opportunity. But what happened? They made two totally different choices. So as we look at that, we say, yes, you can have two kids raised in the same church, taught the same Bible, sitting in the same Sunday school class. One chooses Christ. The other chooses sin. Yes, it can happen. We've seen it happen. And we've all said, how can that happen? How can you have two kids grow up in the same house and they grow up and they go two totally different directions? We've all seen it, right? But no matter what, no matter what we do as parents, we can't take away their free will, can we? Can't do it. They have a free will, and some kids, no matter what you do or how you train them, they will go astray. They choose to do so. As sad as it is, yes, but they get to choose. They get to choose, and some parents beat themselves up about it. They thinking it's their fault, and they get depressed, and they blame themselves. But let me tell you, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. They have a free will, just like you and I. They get to choose, just like you and I. Cain and Abel are the perfect examples for this. In the Scripture, in the Word of God, they were raised right. They were raised right, but they made two totally different choices. We all have that free will. God never takes that away. He never takes that free will away from us, that ability to choose. And He did not make us robots. Amen. Praise the Lord. He didn't pre-program us to love Him. He wants us to choose to love Him. You see, when you choose to love Him, that's what love is. right? You really love him. But when you're pre-programmed, hey, that's not going to work. God wants us to love him. But here's the thing. We all make choices. We all have choices to make, and we all make those choices. And every single choice that you and I make, no matter how big or how small it is, every single choice has a consequence that goes along with it. We need to understand that. Whether you're a young person or an older person or a seasoned person, whatever, every single person makes choices, and there's a consequence to every single choice that we make. Everything in life is a choice. And it shouldn't shock us when a child does go astray. It hurts, but it shouldn't shock us. Why? Because we read the Bible. We read God's Word. And for instance, in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 7 through 9, we've looked at those many of times. You have the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You know, at those that are alive after the great tribulation, you know, they're saved. They go into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes down, sets up his millennial reign here on earth. The earth will be repopulated by those that were saved through the tribulation. Right? 1,000 years, the earth is going to be replenished. And you know what? There are going to be many. The Bible says many will go astray. They grow up seeing Jesus. There's no porn in this time. Hey, there isn't any alcohol in this time. They get to see Jesus. They grew up in the millennial. And you know what else? There's not even a devil to blame. The devil is in the pit for 1,000 years. You can't blame the devil. But we read the book and it says many will be led astray. Parents, don't let them put that guilt trip on you. Don't let them put that guilt trip on you. It's on them. They get to choose. They get to choose. And kids, let me tell you, you can't blame your parents for your decisions. You can't blame your parents for the decisions that you make and the consequences that come from those. Cain and Abel remind us that it's not about your upbringing. You know what it is? It's not about your upbringing. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. What does the Bible say about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's about the heart. All matters of life are about the heart. And just to flip, hold your place here, but flip over real quick to Proverbs 4 in verse 23. I want you to see this here verse because it's an important verse talking about the heart. The world says, follow your heart. The world says, do what your heart feels is right. That leads to destruction. Here in Proverbs 4, in verse 23, the Bible tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence. The world says, follow your heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Which one are you going to follow? Which one are you going to go by? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Because he tells us, for out of it are the issues of life. Every issue in life boils down to a heart issue. Salvation, rejecting the Lord, is a heart issue. Submission is a heart issue. Loving your wife is a heart issue. Children, not obeying your parents is a heart issue. It all comes down to a heart issue, and we're reminded to keep our heart with all diligence. In Proverbs 23, verse 26, the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. The heart is deceitful. We need to make sure we're keeping it. Keeping it with all diligence, that means we're watching what we put in through the eyes. We're paying attention to what we put in through the ears. Right, we're watching. We're paying attention. We're basing everything on the Scriptures. What does God say? Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Hey, we see here that these two kids, they came from the same parents, but we also see here that they took two different routes. They took two different paths. Abel was a keeper of sheep, meaning he worked with the flocks there, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. He worked with the crops, but there's nothing wrong with either of the professions. There's nothing wrong with either one, but their work would come to reflect their spiritual choices. Moving on here, not only do we see two brothers, we see here Cain's false worship. So we look at these two brothers. First, we look at Cain here. If you get back over in Genesis chapter 4, look there in verse number 3. We see here Cain's false worship. In Genesis 4:3, it says, "In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Look at verse 5. "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." So we see here, Cain brought an offering. Amen. Hallelujah. He's religious. He brought an offering. Sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds great. He was sincere. You've heard people say, you know, as long as I'm sincere in what I believe in, God will understand. I will be okay as long as I'm sincere. No. That's a lie of the devil. Cain brought what he wanted because he had a bad heart. He had a bad heart. He brought what he wanted, not what God required. We got to get a hold of that. We got to come to God the way God says. It doesn't matter how sincere you are if you're sincerely wrong. We read the verses there again in Matthew chapter 7. Oh, all these people come to Jesus. You know, I've done this, all these good works. And we prophesied in thy name, and Jesus says, "Depart from me. I never knew you. Right? We need to come the way God says. Many people today think they're doing God's service by showing up for church and going through the motions, and there's no relationship there. Right? They come to church and like, what am I going to get out of church today? Right? I'm going to be blessed with health and wealth and, you know, and all these blessings in my life. But listen, there's no relationship there. There's no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain rejected God's way, and he said, "I'll come my way. I'll do things the way I want to do." Right? You been there? I was there for many years. I'll do it my way. I can come however I want to come. Right? I can do what I want to do. Cain rejected God's way. Hey, I'll do church the way I think church should be done. And you know, we all have a free will. Like I said, we live in a free country. We live in an area where there is churches everywhere, where there are church buildings everywhere, right? But there's no Jesus in the midst of them. There's no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Cain was very prideful. He was very prideful, and he thought he could come to God the way he wanted to. We are the same way. We are very prideful. We have this flesh on us. We live in this me generation where it's all about me. We are very prideful, and we think we are always right. It doesn't matter what it is, but I'm always right. You know what I mean? We're always right. Everything. We're never wrong, but pride says, "Hey, I'm right." Hey, pride says, "Hey, I don't need church. I don't need the blood." Pride says, "My works are good enough. Hey, when I get to heaven, my works, my good works will outweigh the bad works, and the scale will tip in my favor, and God will let me into heaven." That's not the way it goes. That's not the way that God invented it to be. That's not the way He intended it to be. It has nothing to do with that. His Word is the truth. Jesus is the only way. He wanted to worship God His way. How many of us want to worship God the same way? We want to worship God on our terms. We want to give God one service. Well, hey, my job is more important than reading the Bible to my family. My job is more important than this and that. And hey, it's great that the church supports missions, but, you know, I don't think that I need to do that. Well, let me just say, if you don't think we need to do that, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? You know, see, we just do. God says do, we just do. God says go, we just go. Hey, thus saith the Lord. The Lord, hey, God said it. That should settle it right there. If your heart is right. If your heart is right. If you have a bad heart, if you've not kept your heart, obviously you're going to have issues with those couple of things and a whole lot more of what God says. But we got to keep our heart. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Cain found that out. The ways of death. What he thought was right led him to the ways of death. He ignored God's requirement for the blood. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 21, if you can look there, you remember God made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. When they sinned, God clothed them. He made coats of skin from an animal, and that animal had to die. They had never seen a dead animal. They had never seen blood. But God took that lamb, whatever animal it was, and He took the coat off of there, and He stripped it off of them, and He made coats for Adam and Eve, and He clothed them. And I can only help but think that when God put that coat on them, the blood was dripping down. The blood was still warm from that animal. But they saw the blood. I can only imagine that they saw the blood and they knew that the blood had to be shed. And the point is that God sets the standards. Man does not set the standards. In Genesis 3:21, He says, "Unto Adam, also into his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." God clothed them. But Cain here, he refuses the blood and he brought vegetables. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood is no remission." Cain brought what he worked with, his hands. He brought what he labored for, what he labored with. These things are all good in man's eyes, but it's not what God requires. It's a false religious system of what man thought was good. We have many of those in our world today. These false religions. Roman Catholicism is another extension of Cain's religion. It rejects the blood alone for salvation. It adds human works and rituals to things, to salvation. And it replaces God's truth with man's traditions. Jude verse 11 says, "Woe unto them. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Cain's false religion, Cain's false doctrines doesn't lead anybody to heaven. It only keeps people lost and on their way to hell with no hope. In Titus 3:5, the Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." Nothing that we can do on our own. All my works, everything that I think is good about me, God says it's filthy rags. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. But Cain says, "Hey, I'll bring the best I have." But God says, "Your best isn't enough. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's a song that goes something like this. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, Cain's false religion, he is the father of every false religion out there. And it's sad because many millions are still following it today. It might look good. It might sound sincere. Hey, it's filled with some works and some Christian lingo, but it's not accepted by God. He rejected it then, and he rejects it now. That is Cain's false religion. But let's look thirdly here at Abel's true religion, his true worship here. In Genesis chapter 4, look there in verse number 4. "So then Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." So Abel approached God by taking the first, the best, the very best of his flock, and sacrificed it as an offering to God. And the Bible says both Abel and his offering were accepted to God. So hold your place here and flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, you know, is the faith chapter, right? The faith chapter. And so we see here Abel is in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel. Right? By faith, Abel. Right? In Hebrews 11, verse number 4. Hebrews 11, in verse number 4, it says here, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, what made it more excellent? It's because he obeyed. Obedience. He obeyed God. He did what God said. He did what God said. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's sacrifice was accepted because it was by faith. He's here in Hebrews, in the New Testament, in Hebrews, the chapter of faith, with other greats like Abraham and Moses and so on. But he's in here by faith because he offered a sacrifice. He believed God. He had faith, not in himself, not in his works, but he had faith in God. He had faith in what God required, in what God said, and he just did what God said. Abel's offering, we know, it pointed to the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, it was a blood sacrifice, the only sacrifice God would accept, and it pointed to Jesus Christ. Now, we might look at this and read this, and we might say, why would one give some produce, and why would one give an animal sacrifice? Why would that happen? Well, that's because that's what Adam taught him. That's what Adam taught him. He taught him to approach God through a sacrifice of an animal. Remember, we just looked there in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam sinned, God killed that animal and clothed Adam and Eve. God taught them that sin causes death. The wages of sin is death. That an innocent substitute has to die in order to clothe man in his shame and in his guilt and in his sin. That innocent lamb that was shed for Adam and Eve to be clothed did do anything wrong, did it? No. But it was a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on the cross, sinless, perfection. He never did anything wrong. No guile was found in him. Hey, it was all a picture of Jesus Christ. And by faith, Abel believed God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb who taketh away the sin of the world in John 1:29. Hebrews 12:24 says, and if Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, into the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hebrews 12:24. In 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You see, the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He is it. He is the perfect sacrifice. And Jesus puts it like this in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is it. This here, Cain and Abel, the account here, and the sacrifice is all pointing to Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He died there on that cross, and when he was dying, he said, it is finished. No other sacrifices need to take place. No more shedding of the blood of the bulls and the lambs and all of those animals. Nothing else needs to take place. The Lamb of God is sacrificing one time for all of mankind. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Amen. Praise the Lord, he was faithful. Praise the Lord that he did not quit. Praise the Lord, he went to the cross and suffered the brutal beatings before the cross and the torture on the cross and being forsaken on the cross. But we know the story. He died on that cross and they put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead victorious. Hey, let me tell you, Muhammad is still dead. Buddha is still dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He was very much alive. He showed himself 40 days on the earth. He ascended up into heaven where he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. You see, everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. All those sacrifices point to the blood of Jesus Christ, the shedding of the blood. You see, Jesus could have died in so many other ways, but it had to be through the shed blood. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Hey, silver and gold, money can't buy salvation. Can't buy your way into heaven. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what it is. The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, you got to come to God. You got to come through the blood. It's only the blood. You come to Jesus today, He'll save you today. He'll give you eternal life. Hey, you leave this world, you open your eyes, and you see Jesus. You see Jesus. That's what the true worship is. The false worship leads to hell. Cain's false worship leads people to hell, but only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Here, moving on here, next I want you to see that Cain was given a choice. Cain was given a choice here in Genesis 4. Look there in verses 6 and 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Hey, God wanted Cain to repent. He gave him another chance. Cain, repent. Cain, turn from your false ways. Hey, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to be saved. He's coming to Cain here, and He's giving him another chance. Cain, all you got to do is repent. Cain, all you got to do is offer up the right sacrifice. Hey, I'm giving you another chance. You have a chance. You have a choice. But Cain didn't want God's way. He wanted his own way. And so many of us, we beg and we plead with our family members or our friends and our children. But hey, we tell them, repent, turn to Jesus Christ. But, you know, they get to choose. Just like Cain, they get to choose. They get to make a choice. God warns them here that sin lieth at the door. It's waiting for you. It's waiting there for you. You can defeat it. You can turn from it. But Cain said no. Cain said no. He wouldn't repent. What about us here today? Maybe God's speaking to us here today about maybe some sin or something in your life. He's saying right here, if thou doest well. He wants you to repent. He's calling us to repentance. Wait, whatever it is that's blocking our relationship, it's hindering our walk with the Lord. If thou doest well, repent. Turn from it. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And next you will see here, we see here next that Cain slew his brother. Cain slew his brother. Verse number 8. It says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He had a fit of rage, of anger. He didn't listen to God. He didn't repent. His pride turned into rage. His jealousy now, it turned into to murder. So now we have the first time we murder here. James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Cain couldn't stand Abel's righteousness. He couldn't stand his sacrifice or his offering being rejected. He was mad at God, yes. He couldn't kill God. He couldn't do anything to God. And so the only thing he could do was take it out on his brother. In 1 John 3, in verse 12, it says here, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. Why did he slew his brother? Why did he kill his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Jealousy. Jealousy. I think about a lot of crimes today over jealousy. You see, when we as Christians, we start rejecting God's word, we start rejecting God's way, the truth of God's word, and we let that root of bitterness into our heart, and that root, it grows and it grows and it grows, and the next thing you know, it's wrapped all around your heart and it's taken over the heart Hey, bitterness does that, and it kills you, and it eats you. And so the warning is, don't let that happen. Don't let envy, don't let rebellion, don't let anger, don't let bitterness turn you into a Cain. Got to move on here. I got a couple more. I want you to see here that Cain was confronted by God. So he slew his brother, and now he's confronted by God in verse 9 and 10. It says here, "And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." So here God comes asking him the question, where's your brother? Hey, not because he didn't know. God knows. He sees everything. He knows, but he wants confession. He wants Cain to confess to what he's done. He wants confession. Hey, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins. Hey, we got to confess. When we're in sin, we got to confess that. He's right there. What sin is it you're struggling with today? What is it you're going through today? He's right there. He's right there, willing, ready, and wanting you to come to repentance, to come for forgiveness, confession. He wants you to confess that and move on. But Cain says, well, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he's at. So he lied. He makes excuses. Just like Adam and Eve did. Remember that? Just like Adam and Eve did when they sinned in the garden, they tried to cover it up. Cain tries to do the same thing here. Point being, you can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. We might think we can hide certain things from God that He's not going to see. We could go into our secret place that He's not going to see. We could go on into that secret group there on our phones, and nobody's going to see what we post. Nobody's going to see the pictures that we post, but that's not the case. You might be able to hide things from other people, but you can't hide things from God. God sees everything. And then lastly, we see here Cain's consequences. Cain's consequences here. And that'll be verses 11 through 16. It says here in verse 11, "And now art thou cursed from the earth." Right? So now he's going to live a cursed life. He is cursed. His religion has left him empty here. His pride, his hatred, his anger, yeah, all of that, his rebellion has led to judgment. That's how false religion always leads to. Revelation 20, 14 and 15, "And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Cain would go on and he'd be a fugitive. He'd go on and be a vagabond. He would go on and be restless the rest of his life. And he says there in verse 13, he says, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." He was sorry for the punishment, but he wasn't repentant. He wasn't sorry for the sin. It's kind of like a lot of people today. A lot of people want relief from the chastening hand of God, but they don't want to repent. We want to stay in our sin. We're not willing and ready to repent. You see, there is a difference between remorse, feeling sorry, and repentance. Repentance is a turning from. You're turning from it. Hey, you're not going back there. You know, when I got saved, I turned from the bars. Hey, I'm not going back to that lifestyle. That lifestyle leads me to death. I'm turning. I'm going towards God. That's what repentance is. But hey, there's a big difference there, and we get that example here in our text today. But hey, don't be like Cain. Don't bring your fruit when God requires a lamb, when God requires the blood. Don't offer religion when God demands redemption. You got to come to the cross. You got to come through Jesus Christ and the shed blood. That's the only way you get to heaven. That's the only sacrifice that will be accepted. If you're going to get to heaven, you must come to Jesus Christ. All other ways are man's ways. They're false ways, and they all lead to destruction. So the warning here, take heed lest you be deceived. Let's close.